Alrighty. Turn to the book of Psalms 126. Now, y'all just pray for me that I can preach what the Lord has given me this week and what He has pressed it upon my heart a couple, two or three weeks ago for this month until the Jubilee, and even really after that, that what we must do and who and what we must lean on, we must do things by faith, and we must lean on faith as Christians, as Christian workers. Sometimes we say, well, you know, we have the faith. We have the faith of a mustard seed. You know, now I'm not speaking about you or nothing like that. I'm not saying this is you, but this is me. Sometimes when I think about it and I thank you, Lord, for the faith that you've given me and the faith that you have in me. And I get to thinking about that. I get to thinking, I say, how much is what I just said is true? How much is what I said confound enough to where other individuals around this country, around the people that I come in contact with, where they know that I'm living it, like I've asked God to help me with. And God's allowing me to live by faith. And I thank Him for that. He don't have to do that. He don't have to do that at all. But you know something? I can go back right now and I can look at what the Lord Jesus and what God the Father said to Brother Job there. See, it won't his faith that needs to be built up. He was trying Job was trying to keep his righteousness to shine forward within the sphere that he was in. I don't know, but in the book of Job, when I got to read that, I mean, sometimes I can't get away from it. I mean, because I love the book of Job. I love the Bible. I love every word in him. And these preachers says, well, you can find lies in the T, you can find lies in the King James. You say you can find lies in the NIV and stuff like that. Well, I'm not going to say lies in the NIV, but I'm going to say this. In the book of Mark, in the NIV, there's more verses that is omitted from that chapter in the book of Mark than it is anywhere else in the New Testament alone. It's not there. And if you'll come, if you'll take your Bible and take the NIV, if you have an NIV, I hope you don't. But I have taken the NIV and I have looked at every word that the NIV has in the book of Mark. And in the book of Mark, I come to find out something. That every verse that is in that particular chapter, that where it's not but two or three verses now, the reason that they've been omitted and been done away with is because of the deity of Jesus Christ. It's because of what he done at Calvary for me and for you and for the other people I hear. Anytime you see anything at all being written down that leads to nothing but the Lord Jesus Christ and no one else but them and what they have done and what they have showed us through his word, NIV omits it because they don't believe in it. Why? Because when they wrote the NIV Bible, they did not have the Holy Spirit with them when they wrote that Bible. And I have one thing to say about that. And I know that, and I know it to be the truth. That they didn't have a Holy Spirit. We'll say, how can you say that? How can you prove it? I said, well, I can prove for one thing that in the NIV it was either 14 or 16. I forgot which one it was. Individuals that had gathered together to come up with this scripture. And they were trying to combine it with the King James. But they couldn't. One reason they could not is because the individuals that wrote the NIV, there was no man that was anointed. There was no one that had been anointed by God to pin down them words like the King James. The men that God picked out through the power of the Holy Spirit, picked them out, and they was anointed. They had God's blessing on them when they were not here and when they preached. That's the King James. That's the only Bible you'll ever see where the people, where the men has been anointed by God to pin them words down for us as individuals. But you know, people today, they don't look at that no more. They look at, well, what can I do to better myself? What can I do to help my family? What can I do to help the individuals that's across the street, they don't have no financial help or no food or nothing like that. What can I do? It's not what I can do, but it's what God can do. And God wants to do it. But God has to have somebody that is willing to come forward and ask God the Father to be able to take the words and pin them down to where the Holy Spirit can speak to our hearts in a way that that other individual out here that we're going to go visit needs to be spoken. We need to speak out. We should never be ashamed of what He's done for us. Never be ashamed. But we'll see over here in John chapter 6 and verse 66 is speaking about the Bible and everything, which all of the word that's through this book goes back and relates to one individual, and that's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is a center theme upon the Word of God. I'm talking about the center thing that's mentioned. Because you have God the Father. You know, and God the Father, He can't do nothing, He couldn't do nothing without the Son of God. And the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit could not do anything without the Son of God. Because it took the Son of God for the Holy Spirit to bring my name up to Jesus Christ. It took the Holy Spirit to give me the faith and the trust to believe in Him. We see where over in the book of Psalms that is talking about the promise to the Christians. And you know, we really get thinking about it if we really think hard about it. Of everything that we go through each day, everything that we do each day, everything that we say, every individual we speak to, it is because of who? God. Because it was because of God's reason He allowed His Son to leave heaven. I don't think His Son probably wanted to go. But the Father said He knew He had to go. Because He knew He could not do it there. Because Jesus was not tempted there in heaven. God the Father wasn't tempted there. Oh yeah. Lucifer tried, but Lucifer failed too. But the promises that we have away from verse 1 of the Bible, where it says God created, we can stop right there. God created. What all did God create? Everything that we see, everything that our eyes look upon, and everything that we see, as far as I hear, up and down the highway, in the woods and different things, and even in the sky, everything that we see and everything that we hear about, God made it possible. Without God, nothing is possible. But everything Everything is possible when you have God on your side. And when you pray to the Father, the gospel. They are looking for a easy religion today. That's the reason you have so many churches out here now. And I'm not going to name any of them because you probably know more than I do. But it's churches out here and it's pastors behind the desk up here, and they preach in a easy believism in knowing what God is saying. They say it's easy to believe. Says it's easy to believe. And the way they look at it, it's easy to them to believe because, see, they don't believe in much. They don't believe in much. They don't believe that they need to come to the house of God. They don't believe that they need to come and they need to give back to God. 10%. That's all they ask for is 10%. He's not greedy. We think he is. He's not greedy. But I tell you what. But we make him sound like he's greedy. You know, it's not the tithes. It's not the 10% that where we're blessed on. We're not blessed on the 10%. Where the blessing comes from is above that, is the offering that we give. That's what we're blessed on, is the offering. Because look in the Old Testament, look in there at the tabernacle, where they went and they came, and once a year they would come and they would sacrifice a lamb. They would sacrifice a lamb, but that lamb had to be spotless. It couldn't have no blemish on them. Then the high priest, he would come once a year to pray for all the people. That's just like, well, I don't get off on that. But we as people, we think that if we have enough of God living in our life, that we are okay. Not so. We're not okay. Because if you say you've got enough of God right now in your life, you don't. Because you're going to want more. You're going to want more of God's blessings on your life. You want more to do for him, for what he's done for you, for what he sacrificed there for you. And he sacrificed his life. He gave his life freely. He laid down his life there in Golgotha Hill, where they had placed him on a cross. He was there. Why was he there? Because of the sins of the past and because of the sins of my life today. It's just because of sin itself.
Do you need it done out yet?
I get it. But now, I tell you, God the Father, He is so grateful. The Father, I love it when the Holy Spirit speaks. I love it when I can even be home in my study just reading or just thinking about God's word or thinking about this or this scripture or that scripture. And then the next thing I know, I can look up and I think your fan would be blowing, would be turning. And I'd look up and the fan's off. But yet I done got that cool breeze to pass by my face. And that cool breeze will give you chill bumps. It will give you them, what they call them, the old Holy Ghost bumps. I love it when the Holy Spirit speaks. I love it when He comes in and He shows up in His service. But a whole lot of time, we that are here today, we could come back to church next Sunday. And we could have been prayed up all week and saying that we're going to have a wonderful service Sunday because we know God's going to be there. We know the Son's going to be there. We know the Holy Spirit's going to be there. And I'm going to be there and I'm going to bring them. But yet, you could have some other people come in that has never visited church. Or maybe, yes, they have visited church at one time, but then they just said, church is just not for me. Church is just not for me. Yes, it is. Church is definitely for them. And we, as individuals, we have prayed all week. We have sought out God all week to send someone our way and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to their heart. We can come as the body of Christ here among us right now because, see, right now in this church, we don't support just, or we don't recognize just a part of His body. No. We recognize His whole body. And that's what, and we're up against the crowd out here that don't want to have anything at all to do with us or do anything at all with God. Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm going to tell you. If you're a Christian today, it takes an individual that has fortitude, has gumption, it has everything else to be able to go and to speak to a non-Christian. You know the reason we have that kind of problem today? Is because that we think that we're too good to approach them. What do you mean, preacher, that we're too good to approach them? Yeah, you can tell why? We're ashamed of what we may hear coming from their mouth. We will probably be ashamed of the thoughts and the things that they say to us. And they say about God and about the Son and about the Holy Spirit. We get so confused and we get so upset because if we go and speak to them and we know that they're lost, the life that they've been living, but yet we won't go to them. Why? Why won't we go to them? Why can't we just take and swallow that bullet and just go on and go to it? I'm going to tell you something. If we will take the extra effort in talking to God and giving us the words to say, giving us the words to speak, to the individual that we are going to go visit. When we get there, don't look like you have either a persimmon and you got your mouth turned inside outwards, because you don't. The only reason that you have that you'll have that is because you're obeying who? Not God the Father. You're obeying Satan. You're obeying Satan and his angels. You're obeying all the imps he's got out here flying around and going around and driving around and coming to show to work and show up at church. Yes, when he can come to church, when the devil can come in and bring somebody into church here, and that individual, then when the preaching comes, then after the preaching is done and everything, then they have the invitation. When they have the invitation, and when they have prayer and everything, and then they have the people to bow their head. To bow their head and the altar's open, they come. They can come and pray to a holy God. See, we don't feel that. We don't feel that much more today. I've been in some services over my 39 or 49 years of being saved. Well, where was they at? They was at the churches where I came to worship a living God, that he lived in their life. And that's what I want for each one of us. I want that for each one of us here at Faith Baptist. That when people see us individually or at a group, or if they see us somewhere else, maybe down in North Carolina, maybe somewhere we've gone to on vacation, that when we come in contact with people and when people speak to us, that we can always be able to leave a smile on our face, and that smile will transfer from our faith, from our face, until their face will be transferred. And not only that will be transferred, but the word of God can also be transferred. Also being put in touch with God. I mean, really, we need, and I'm not asking much of any of you when I say this, because God has asked me to say this. And one thing about God, He will never come to you or come to me and ask us to do something that hasn't already been done. You know, the Lord Jesus, He is so faithful in what He does and who He serves. He's so faithful. But are we faithful? Are we faithful to Him in whom we serve? Are we? Do we go out here and do people know in whom we serve? Do they know by our voice? Can they hear us if we at the table at a restaurant and saying the blessing over the food? Are we so timid to the point that we can't say it out loud? Because if we do, the manager may come over there and say something to us. Or somebody may look at us with a frown or something. But we must let people know in whom we're serving. And if they act up, and the individual that watches me or sees me praying, I'm not going to say a silent prayer. I don't think God expects us to. I expect God to really allow us to be known as Christians. And can you be known as a Christian by going to a place of business to eat and you can't even bless the food? Because it doesn't make no difference. A sinner could have made the food. But the thing about it is, the food itself that they have prepared come from God. Come from God, where He blesses His people. In closing, I want to say this once again, but I think I've said it before here in today's message. But please remember in whom you serve. You don't serve self. You don't serve Faith Baptist Church. You don't serve this pastor. You don't serve Brother Bill as a deacon. You don't serve anyone else in this church here. You don't serve us. We're supposed to go out here and serve the Lord Jesus Christ and what He has done so much for us. He done so much for me. There's no way under the sun that I can ever quit talking about Him. Because why? because of what he done. He died on Calvary's cross for my soul. He died there for me. He died that I may have life. And the pardon. Hey, man, I ain't got to go to no governor to have my sentence pardoned. My sentence has already been pardoned. It's been pardoned by God. But in closing, I want to say this. I want to challenge you. And as me putting out that challenge to you, I'm also putting that challenge out to me too. That we do something that will cause some of our family members to come to church during a Jubilee. And we don't know. I don't know who's saved and who's lost. But God the Father does in the individual. They know if they're saved or not. But I want to give you that challenge. If we will take that challenge at heart, take that challenge at heart from now until September the 9th. And then that week of September the 9th, you will see where God has done something. And God has not only blessed the people that come out, but God has also blessed you for your effort. That's a challenge I want to put there. I'd love to see each one of you bring as many individuals you can of your family that week. Because I know that God will bless you because he's already challenged you. He's challenged me. And I got a brother. It's the only one I got now. I got two. One says he's saved, but the other, he says, no. I don't think he is. I really don't know. But I don't know for sure.